Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Which one is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
That's... Yeah. They have asked for that, really.
Yeah, you can laugh. I'm the World Cup.
I'm a little bit of an idealist. But having said that, I want to be like me.
You don't know what you're talking about.
What did you know?
I'd like to stay alive for 6 days.
I'd say it to your face, not say it to now.
I'm down Swanfield and we'll see them, won't we?
What you doing down here, you shawny man?
Manchester United's recent results against the rest of the Big Six, or the so-called Big Six as they're now being called. So I should say, their recent results against the so-called Big Six. Nil all, 1-0 defeat, nil all, nil all, nil all. And yesterday's latest, nil all. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is doing a pretty good impression. I'm reminded of the Apres match sketch doing the football results from Northern Ireland of a number of years ago. Doing that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is doing a pretty good impression these days of a manager who doesn't, in fact, understand the attacking DNA of this great football club, the need to entertain the masses. Thankfully, his old teammate Roy Keane was on hand to save Sky's Super Sunday production. Hi, Ken. Hi, Murph.
Hey, Owen.
How are you?
Hi everyone, welcome to this Monday mini football pod ahead of a full football show tomorrow. That one will be available to World Service members only. In fact, there's going to be plenty of football throughout the week, near enough a full set of Premier League matches. But after the latest letdown between the big teams yesterday, I hesitate to use upcoming Premier League fixtures as a means to hook in any of you non-members listening. We can't guarantee there'll be entertaining football. We can guarantee
boring.
We will try our best to talk about it in an entertaining manner. That was not great yesterday, and I have to say, in the absence of the postponed Scotland-France game in the Six Nations, Chelsea versus Man United was the undoubted centrepiece of my sporting Sunday. Murph, I know you would have felt the absence of Scotland-France in particular, so I think
very
it's okay
keenly.
For us to feel, yeah, we can feel personally offended by this latest nil-all. That's okay, isn't it?
Regardless of whether or not there was a rugby game that was due to be on, that was an affront to our senses yesterday, and there was no amount of Gary Neville saying what a good game it was that could paper over the fact that it was another insanely dull game between.
It was strange that actually, because in fairness to Neville, and I don't think he actually does. I don't think he always. I think maybe there's a perception that TV companies always try to dress up every game, no matter how crap it is. But I don't think that is always the case. I think sometimes they do call it out. But it felt like what co-commentators often do is they get an idea of something in their head early on and they stick to that idea. So he looked at the team sheets, looked at Man United pressing high or whatever he was saying they were doing, and decided, oh, this is a bit more enterprising than I was expecting. This is a good game. And no amount of lack of action for most of the rest of the game could dissuade him of that notion as it went on.
It's kind of like, you know, the first 30 minutes are good, and then after that you're just kind of saying, it's gone into a little bit of a lull now. But if the lull lasts, you know, 70 minutes or something, then I think it's fair to say it's just a bad game.
What do you reckon, Ken?
Yeah, I mean, again, it was
it was a turkey. It was a turkey of a game, Ken.
Yeah, I mean, you know, on one hand, I'm reluctant to just sort of say, well, it was another nil-nil draw, and therefore that's bad. You know, as though like a goal could have transformed this turkey of a game into a swan. You know what I mean? Like, why would one play have ended? Like, what if Olivier Giroud had connected with that header, or if David De Gea hadn't saved that shot by Ziyech and the ball had gone in, would the game suddenly have been elevated? I mean, I suppose the game's state would have changed. There would have had to be a little bit more risk-taking at some point. I mean, it's a game in which there's no goals, a game that ultimately doesn't catch fire. I mean, that's a fact.
It's a game without resolution, Ken. You know what I mean? In the fine storytelling tradition.
Well, resolution would imply the game sort of got started and started going somewhere before petering out, you know, like Game of Thrones or something, the Song of Ice and Fire. You know what I mean? It's like there's no resolution, but like, you know, at least something happened. Whereas in this game, it was again, and you know, Chelsea were nearly as bad as Man United in terms of the overall the kind of defensiveness, the caution of their approach. And they were the team, both because they were at home and because they're chasing in the table, that, you know, if you look at it, really a draw suits Man United, and ultimately actually the draw suited Chelsea as well. I feel, you know, Chelsea thought, well, in the context of our recent results, not losing this is actually fine, you know. And for United, it was clear that, like, in the context of where we are in the table and where they are, not losing this is fine. Leicester lost, you know, West Ham lost. If we don't lose to Chelsea, that's fine. And so ultimately, it was for everybody, it was fine, you know, and everyone could agree afterwards that it was a good game and well done, and everyone, like, let's turn 90 degrees to the right and give yourselves a good pat on the back, like, you know. It's like, you know, unfortunately there were no fans there to enliven this circle jerk with you know, I don't know what any of the sort of elements of chaos or psychological pressure that fans introduce.
Give it gigs it to the end of the season.
Often not in the right way, it has to be said. But, you know, just it did seem like another one of these games where it's sort of like, yeah, you know, almost it would have been better if the two sides, if delegations from the two clubs could have got together in a hotel room somewhere and just hammered out an acceptable deal for the game. You know, if they could agree on a draw and then they could just, you know, put that in the record books, and then, you know, it would have freed up a sort of a very sunny February 28th afternoon, actually.
That was the other day. It certainly was sunny, I think, everywhere in Dublin. Everywhere us three were watching the match from. So that's the other thing. You're looking out thinking, should I be in here watching football? Or maybe I should be out enjoying that sunshine. The more aggrieved party appeared to be Manchester United, because they had that penalty appeal. Luke Shaw was giving chapter and verse on the conversation afterwards between Harry Maguire and the referee. H, as Luke Shaw refers to Harry Maguire.
H. That
was my
about?
Main takeaway. The ref said to H, I heard him say it. He said to Harry Maguire, if it's a penalty, that's going to cause a lot of talk about it after. So I don't. This is not Luke Shaw saying this to Harry Maguire. This is the referee apparently saying it to Harry Maguire. So yeah, the penalty wasn't given in the end. Looked pretty clear to me that it was a penalty, but wasn't given.
Well, it was kind of weird, because basically Luke Shaw said, that the referee said to Harry Maguire, if I say it's a pen, then it's going to cause a lot of talk about it after. Mm. So which sounds as though the referee is saying to Harry Maguire, look, Harry, you and me both know that's a penalty, but I can't say that out there, because, you know, we'll get torn apart by the fake media, you know, and there's a lot of corruption around, and I can't give that penalty, even though it's a real penalty. So that's what it sounds as though the effect of the referee's words are to Harry Maguire. However, Manchester United have since said that Shaw has misheard what was said between Maguire and the official. There is no malicious intent. This was their... they put out a statement after it, because otherwise it sounds like Shaw is basically accusing the referee of, you know, in a sort of... It wasn't that Luke Shaw was raging and you know, Didier Drogba-ing it and going, this is a disgrace. He was just sort of matter-of-factly saying something which, if true, was really scandalous. So United have said, oh, no, that didn't happen. I mean, I don't know if the referee was speaking to Harry Maguire in Albanian or what the story was, you know what I mean? It was just one of those things. No one can quite agree. Bitter Chinese whispers going on. No one can quite agree. I mean, was it a penalty? I was surprised it wasn't given.
Yeah.
I mean, the only justification I can see for not giving it, given the way that like, we've seen these types of penalties given, his hand is raised quite high. I mean, Greenwood's hand is raised high, but Greenwood touches the ball as well, but fractionally after. I mean, Thomas Tuchel, I saw, like, had this, like, kind of bulging-eyed, self-righteous take that, well, it was crazy. They were looking at, oh, everyone could see the player in red had touched the ball with his hand. And, yes, Thomas, but in time... like that happened after in the sequence of time. So it doesn't actually matter if he touched. Yes, he touched the ball, and but your player touched it first. You know what I mean? It seems unfair. Yes. Why is it that they both do the same thing and it's a penalty against our team? It does seem unfair, but that was the order in which events occurred. The penalty was triggered before Greenwood touched the ball. Greenwood touching the ball is of no actual importance if it's a foul against Hudson-Odoi. Why was it not a foul? The only thing I can surmise is that, well, I mean, in fairness, the most likely explanation is that the referee simply didn't see it properly as he was looking at it. He's like, oh, I don't know. It looks like Greenwood touches the ball to me. Like, he didn't see it. Like, he was blinking back tears or something. I don't know. Who knows what was happening? I mean, if he did see it clearly, and if he'd seen it clearly, it would have been the ball has fractionally touched the hand of Hudson-Odoi just before Greenwood, it touches Greenwood's arm. And I think Greenwood handles it twice. But again, that doesn't matter because it's after. It's the fact that Greenwood's arm is also in contact with Hudson-Odoi's arm, just at around the same time as the ball touches. So it may be the case that sort of he thought, well, is Hudson-Odoi trying to get the ball out of the way? Has his hand been pushed into the ball by Greenwood's arm here? You know what I mean? It's the only way that I can look at it and say, well, maybe it's not a penalty. Maybe he hasn't given it for that reason. Otherwise, it's just like, well, I mean, it's a micro handball in the penalty area, and this is now part of football. We know that when you go and see this in VAR, it's like, well, he's got to give that. And so you're like, well, it's a pity he's got to give it because it's really dumb. Like, it shouldn't be a penalty. Like, this has just got nothing to do with football. But it's a penalty based on everything we've seen over the last couple of seasons. So I can imagine United being annoyed. Being annoyed not to have got the chance to score that.
Well, they didn't get the chance to score. Nobody scored in that game. But into this entertainment vacuum when Sky Sports yesterday stepped their most combustible pundit, a man renowned for his on-air outbursts. I'm talking about Jamie Redknapp, of course, who had poor little Roy Keane in his sights yesterday. The subject was Tottenham Hotspur. This was pre the Spurs-Burnley game. Essentially, all the background you need to know, Keane was not being much of a Spurs fan. Jamie had been fighting their corner. A key detail as you listen back to this is that Roy Keane is in studio. Jamie Redknapp is at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium for the game against Burnley.
You're talking about there, Roy. Getting your Man United team right now.
I think people keep
getting Man United's team.
They keep looking at the Spurs team. I think Spurs were better 2 or 3 years ago with the Trippiers and the Ericssons when Ali had the hunger. But this Spurs thing...
Yeah.
Spurs are good on their day, yeah, like lots of teams. And Jamie makes the point, they're going, they've got a lot of international players. If you trap the ball, now you're going to play for your country. Everybody plays for their country. If you don't play for your country, no, you are a bad player. Yeah. So that doesn't guarantee anything.
That's not what I'm saying, Roy.
Which out of this Tottenham team would get in Liverpool, Man City team, Chelsea team? You wouldn't touch any of them. Son and Kane.
Three, you wouldn't touch them?
Who?
Son and Kane. What,
Yeah, I'd take them two. Yeah, I'd take them two. Like, outstanding. But the rest of them, you wouldn't touch them.
See, I think the bigger picture
You play
Spurs.
Alderweireld is a better centre-back. He'd get in Man United's team as a centre-back right now. I think he would. Yeah. I think the goalkeeper's not good enough. I'll agree with you there. I don't think he does well enough. I think the two right-backs they've signed. No, I don't trust Aurier and I don't trust Doherty. He hasn't done well enough. But he plays in a back three. I think the back four isn't good enough. But I'll tell you what, Reguilón is as good a left-back as there is in the country. Yeah. So I think you've got that one wrong. I think he's a class player.
Why do you think Real Madrid let him go?
So you're saying he's not... Does that matter? Oh, because Real Madrid let him go. That doesn't make him a good player.
Yeah, but how much did they let him go for?
Country, not a good player,
how much did they let him go for? It sounds like they paid 60, 70 million.
They might be able to buy him back, actually.
Doherty's
playing for Wolves, who were the last year have done well and they're expecting to compete. They're selling to Spurs for 15 million Doherty. Does anyone really think Doherty's going to make Spurs a top four team?
No,
Doherty, really?
Yeah, I agree with you. What about the left back then? So you're saying Reguilón's not a good player now? Is that what you're saying?
No, he's a good player.
You can't have seen a lot of Spurs.
He's a good player.
Just take a breath, Jamie.
Very good.
Take a breath, Jamie, says Dave Jones.
That was the worst part from Redknapp's point of view. I mean, Keane is obviously... trying to destabilize Jamie Redknapp psychologically. We know that. But then when the supposedly impartial facilitator of this conversation comes in with that comment.
You mean like as in Keane should be taking a breath as much as Jamie should be?
Why are you telling me to calm down, mate?
How often do the words calm down? How often does that followed by someone immediately calming down?
Yeah,
that's
it doesn't.
Very
just
often
take,
does
just
that
take a breath. You know what I mean? It's like, sorry, what are you talking about? Like, because it represents a kind of an open acknowledgement that Redknapp has lost it. You know what I mean? Like, if the guy's telling them, settle, Jamie, then it's acknowledging everyone is like, you've lost it, Jamie.
Do you think?
Don't cry, Jamie. Please don't cry.
Yeah, the Defractor tweeted saying, I'm begging you not to cover Keane's latest. There's no better explanation for Keane's failure as a manager than his career as a pundit. I'm sick of hearing him projecting his own anger and confusion into bullshit criticism. Imagine how his players felt. I do apologise, Defractor, but I think this one was more interesting as interesting for the fact that Jamie Redknapp was getting so...
England, dry your tears with your England B cap there, Redknapp.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I forgot about that one.
I mean, you'd forgotten about that. I hadn't forgotten about it. I don't think Keane forgot about it either. Well, maybe Redknapp forgot about it.
Forget until maybe just resurfaced in the middle of the argument yesterday. Hang on, didn't Keane say that to me a number of years ago?
This is a little different though, because Keane was acting. It wasn't Keane that was losing his cool, you know, like he was acting as an agent provocateur.
Well, in fairness, I don't know if you saw him, but he did. His voice did end up kind of
that clip goes on a little bit, and Keane does go up the scales. But I thought there were a couple of things. There was a technical reason for it. Once Redknapp started getting annoyed, I could see that being a very tricky situation because he's on video link. There's a little bit of a delay, it seems, which can be tricky anyway. Whereas Roy Keane has the benefit of sitting in studio, and also that delay is augmented somewhat when Keane says stuff like, you wouldn't touch any of them. You wouldn't touch any of those players if you're one of the top teams. Then there's a pause, at which point Redknapp's ready to come in. Then Keane goes, besides Kane and Son. throwing Redknapp. So it's quite hard to come back at that as well. Yeah.
The technical problem was amplifying the confusion. But, you know, I mean, what Redknapp should have really done is just shut up and let Keane talk. Because I've never seen Keane loses his cool when he himself talks for too long. Like, he doesn't lose his cool in an argument with someone else because he's good at arguments, and all he does is throws in kind of things which aren't really related but like are confusing and annoying, and which and reduces the, like, they're destabilizing things to say which the person ends up sort of chasing their own tail and making a fool of themselves. Whereas if you just let Keane talk and just let him expound his own voice, he ends up annoying himself. You know, he always ends up circling back to something that annoys him, and then he starts actually losing the cool. And you don't have to do anything; just sit there, and watch it.
What you think doesn't really matter.
You know, Doherty. Once he got Doherty in his head, he was losing his cool because Doherty disrespected him. You know what I mean? And he's like, well, here we are. I had been thinking about this conversation with Redknapp. I was sort of enjoying winding him up, but now I've mentioned Doherty and I've annoyed myself.
When did Doherty disrespect Keane?
By saying that he didn't really have any role around the Ireland camp. This was when it was after Martin O'Neill. Remember when Martin O'Neill called him up? That was because he went on Game On, right? He was on 2FM and he did an interview I think with Hugh Cahill, and he was saying basically, yeah, I mean, he was quite frank about, like, this was just after O'Neill had left and Keane, obviously, and he just said, well, you know, I don't really, as far as I recall, he said, like, I don't really, can't really remember what Keane did, or he was just a backup for Martin, was the line.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't like he was hands-on or, like, he basically couldn't describe any specific role that Keane had.
Yeah.
So obviously he made Keane sound like a bit of a kind of spare part or like nodding dog, Martin's little mate who was along, you know, and I suppose Keane has been was annoyed by that, and yesterday Doherty got his comeuppance because he's been sitting on the bench for Jose Mourinho's team. But just what Keane was saying to Redknapp overall was ridiculous. You know, I mean, he was claiming basically half the Burnley team would walk into the Tottenham team, which is nonsense. You know, it's absolute nonsense. Like, I mean, it sounded almost as though he'd been like he was a glove puppet now for Jose Mourinho. To sort of talk down the team that Jose Mourinho's got here.
Make journalism and tell
the
truth.
What can he do? Mourinho there with his hands raised above his head in the handcuff gesture. What can I do with these guys? Doherty. You know what I mean? And I thought it was nonsense. Of course, Tottenham were absolutely destroyed Burnley.
Yeah, with Sergio Reguilón, who was the other key figure in that argument there, one of them being involved in three of the four goals and looking like the as Hasselbank called him at halftime, the incredible fullback Sergio Reguilón. That was quite funny.
Incredible fullback. Yeah, I mean, it was funny. Like, again, like, these things are, it is like,
well, I'll tell you what it is, Ken. It's like, it's really funny because when Keane is raging against like your own team, it's like, this guy, he doesn't have a clue. He's insulting our intelligence. This guy's a disgrace. And then you see him talking about some other club, and it's like, well, I mean, this has livened up what would be a pretty boring show otherwise.
There is that. Because it was a bleak weekend. It was a bleak weekend of oh, God. Are we still doing this? We could really all do it a week off. We just need a, we could do an international break.
There's one coming up soon, don't worry.
Yeah.
Monday's Six Nations podcast is on the way for you later today. That's going to be available to everybody. Tomorrow's football podcast and the rest of the pods through the week will only be available to World Service members. They are the ones who make these shows happen for us. So please do have a think about joining up if you haven't already. It's €5 a month plus VAT, and you can do it on secondcaptains.com. Hope you enjoyed this short podcast. Thanks, Ken. Thanks, Murph.
Thank you, Owen. Thank you, Ken.
Owen, thank you.
Thanks so much for listening.
What phone is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
It is not war and death and famine. It's not that at all. It's the opposite of that. It's the persuasion of the world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.